Okay. Achav Zayin Amaveis. We say Berachas HaTorah. Extra sleep today, though it might not feel like it. But it's to appreciate what we got. Okay. Achav Zayin Amaveis. We're up to the Mishnah. So remember, this is the third Mishnah of the Perek. The first Mishnah of the Perek was the Chaf Amaveis that discussed different wicks and fuels that you were allowed to light with, you're not allowed to light with, based on whether they burned well or not. That was Mishnah number one. That was Chaf Amaveis. Mishnah number two on Chaf Dalam Amaveis first spoke about Shem and Sefer B'Yom Tov, but then listed other types of wicks and candles that you weren't allowed to use. On either they didn't smell nice, it's run, or the Chachamim say you can use any types of oil, or Bitarfin said only Shem and Zayas. That was the second Mishnah on Chav Dalam Abbas. Now we're up to the third Mishnah, which is other aspects of Halakas Neiris. Kol Hayotze Min Ha'etz Ein Malikin Bo Ela Pishta. Anything that comes out of a tree, Ein Malikin Bo Ela Pishta. The only thing that comes out of a tree that you're allowed to use for Halakas Neiris is Pishta. The things that don't come out of a tree, so then that's not included in the rule of the Mishnah. But any product that comes out of a tree, you're not allowed to use except for Pishta. So Rashi quotes here what's included in that. So Rashi says, Lasas psila mi canvas, ubeket canvas, mi tsemer gefen. Or some, so in the new Gemara, it says that the Gersa should be umi tsemer gefen. There should be another vav in there, meaning cotton. So the Satosis immediately asks, all of our wicks are made out of cotton. You know, what do you mean you can't use cotton? Tosfos says, Maisa b'chol yom. Tosfos in the first, second wide line. Ve'inir el Rabbeinu Tam, dim ken ye, also lahadlik bo. U'maisa b'chol yom shemal liki b'tzeber gefen. Ve'gam tov ma'od lapsilu. All of our wicks are made of cotton. Ve'omari, v'adli demutu lahadlik b'kan v'tzeber gefen. De'inam yotzum in a'itzel lezerahu. Those are called zera, seed, cotton seed. It's called seeds. That's not included. That's not excluded in from the Mishnah. So other things are excluded from the Mishnah, but not that. That's just a little ha'ara on Rashi and Tosfos. Second line of the Mishnah: V'chol hayotze min ha'etz eino mitame tumas ohalim ela pishtan. Another halacha: anything that comes out of a tree. Now we're not into halachas neiros anymore, but anything that comes out of a tree will not be mitame tumas ohalim ela pishtan. What does that mean? Usually we know that there's a concept called tumas ohel. You know, there's tumas negiya if a salitame touches something. Tumas masa, a salitame is carried. If I carry something, that's tame. If I touch something, that's tame. If I move something, that's tame. That's called tumas heset. If I sit on something, that's tame. That's usually sat on by some avos atoma. That's called tumas mishkav, tumas moshav. But then there's another type of tumah called tumas ohel. If something is ma'ahil on a mace, so then everything under that ohel, we discussed three types of tumas ohel. Either ma'ahil over a mace is ma'ahil on me, or an ohel, a tent, roof structure, is over an object and the mace. That's what we had a couple of days ago. Those are three types of tumas ohel. But the halacha is, according to the Mishnah, that if the roof, does the roof itself become tameh besides what's under it or not? Like, let's say there's a tent. Does the tent itself have to be dunked in a mikvah? Is that itself, or it gets sprinkled if it's, it's a tame mace or not? So says the Mishnah, anything that comes out of a tree, any product of a tree that's used for the roof, eino mitame tumas ohalim, does not become mitame. Mitame means it itself becomes tame. Ela pishtan, only pishtan. Pishtan is the only roof structure that it itself becomes tame if it acts as the roof. So that is what the Mishnah says, which we'll get to a little more discussion of this in the Gemara. So let's continue. Minalan the Pishtan Ikri 8, says the Gemara. How do I know? The Gemara said, the Mishnah gave two examples of anything that comes out of 8. This following halacha doesn't apply except for Pishtan. So much of that Pishtan is called 8. Pishtan is Yosi Minah 8. How do you know Pishtan is called 8? Amar Marzutra, to Amar Kra, because Marzutra says, the following pasuk in the beginning of Yoshua, by the story of Rachav and the Meraglim, the spies, that she hit him on the roof, so the king of Yericho wouldn't find them, and then she let him out down the rope on the side of the house, so they would get free. So in that story, V'hi he'alasam hagaga, she brought them up to the roof, v'titz minayim b'pishtei ha'etz. So you see the word Pishtan associated with the word Eitz, so that's how you know Pishtan is connected to Eitz. Okay, so that is point number one. Next, the Mishnah the Gemara continues. V'hayotzi min ha'etz eino mitame tumas ohalim ela pishtan. The second halach of the Mishnah was that anything that comes out of a tree, any product of a tree, is not mitame. It itself doesn't become tame except for pishtan, minalan. How do I know that I should limit it? How do I know? And just by the way, this doesn't mean that Pishtun flax is the only thing, the only roof structure that becomes Tameh. It's the only thing from a tree that acts as a roof structure that becomes Tameh. Let's say I have a different type of material functioning as the roof. That doesn't come from a tree. That could become Tameh. The Mishnah doesn't talk about that. The Mishnah's only talking about tree products that act as the roof, whether that becomes Tameh or not. But other products, the Rambam says clearly, quoting this Gemara, other products can become Tameh, not just Pishtun. Other roofs can become Tameh as well. But, for example, like let's say a building, metal or bricks, right? If a building, you know, if there's a Rachman al-San, a mason, a roof, in a house, so then that building is not going to become Tameh. It's only what's in the building that becomes Tameh. So anyway, says the Gemara in the last line, Minolan, how do I know this halacha, that only Pishtun is going to become Tameh as the roof? Rabbi Elazar, Gomar Ol Ohel Mishkan. We learn it out from the Mishkan. Ksiv Hacha, from Xer Shava. Ksiv Hacha, it says here in Parshas Chukas, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamis Ba'ohel. In Chukas, that's the marker for Tumas Meis. He uses the word Ohel there. Viksiv Hasam, and it says by the Mishkan, Vayifros es ha Ohel al HaMishkan. And it uses the word Ohel there, that's the Gzeir Shava, al HaMishkan, on the Mishkan. Mala Halanjal Pishtun Kari Ohel. Avkajal Pishtun Kari Ohel. So the Gemara says, just like over there by Mishkan, all the different types of curtains and tapestries were made out of flax, different kinds of flax as described in the Torah. Avkajal Pishtun Kari Ohel. So too, it must be the only thing that's called an Ohel in terms of becoming Tameh by Tumas Meis is Pishtun. Okay, so that is the Makar in the Gemara, which we'll continue in a minute, but first I want to discuss one of the Tosfosim. If you look back at the bottom Tosfos on the previous Amud, Tosfos Ve'ein, Tosfos asks, V'hadamar le'el b'perakama. Those of us who remember 10 blot ago, or 11 blot ago, in the first parak, the Gemara said, V'al atzman b'chol shehein, mashbet dekol akelem nasa o'el akabo tuma machmas o'el. Right, so if you look back at the first parak had a Gemara which seemed to say that all materials become Tameh, not just Pishtun. So what do you mean it's only going to be limited to Pishtun? Only Pishtun, which functions as a roof, is going to become Tameh. Other materials as well. So what does Tosfos say? Hacha Airi Bedavar Hakavua Shechibro Lekarka. No, says Tosfos, you're right. If you use any type of material that comes from a tree, it's going to become Tameh. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that usually if you take a material that came from a tree and you make it permanent, and you attach it to the ground, you make it mechubar, so then already it loses its status of a baguette, it loses its status of a product of a tree, and it's called mechubar, and then it doesn't become tummy anymore. That's the chiddush es Tosfos, that pishtun, flax, even if it's mechubar, even if it gets attached to the ground, it still can't become tummy. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah of pishtun. Yes, the earlier Gemara said anything that comes from a tree can become tummy. That's true if you're not mechaber to the ground. But once you're mechaber to the ground, then I might have thought, Tosfos continues, afal gav shebetchilo haya beged, kivet shechibur lo'el, bit lo bitar es beged. Once you connect it, once you mechaber it, then you're being mevatel from a beged. And therefore, it's just called mechubar. So then, in that type of case, other materials cannot become tameh, but pishtun can become tameh. That is what Tosfos says. Then it becomes karka. The halacha becomes karka by those materials, and therefore, it doesn't become tameh, just like karka zayin mekabel tum. That's Shitas Tosfos. Asks the Rashba on this Tosfos. The Rashba says, one second, what did we just learn together in the Gemara? What's the source for this whole halacha of limiting it to pishtun? Mishkan. Right, the Mishkan is the whole makar for the limited to Mishkan. What was the structure in the Mishkan? You have these boards, and you have the curtains hanging on them on top, and you have the board sitting on these adonim, sitting on these sockets, good word, sitting on the sockets. That's not mechubar. That's not really mechubar. It's a structure standing on the ground, but that's not mechubar. So what's Tosfos talking about? Our Mishnah, according to Tosfos, just said, the whole issue is mechubar. If you attach it, is it going to still have the halacha of becoming tameh or not? And the Tosfos limits it and says, no, it's talking about mechubar. Asks the Rashba here, Mishkan Mishkan metaltel havi. Mishkan is the davar hamitaltel. Mishkan can be moved. It's taken apart, taken down, taken apart, taken down. So how could that be the whole mucker for the chiddush of the Mishnah according to Tosfos? So the Rashba says maybe it's a type of gzeiras hakasev. Even though it's metaltel, since you made an ol, it's called mechubar. But there's a Chasam Sofer that we've mentioned actually a couple weeks ago in one of the Tuesday night shiur. The Chasam Sofer says, no, maybe there's another idea. The Chasam Sofer quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, asks by this issue, by the malach of Ohel, he says, we know that all the malachas are learned after Mishkan. That's what we're going to learn later on in Daf Mem Tesema Beis. All the malachas of the Mishkan, were, of Shabbos, are learned out from the Mishkan. So usually there's a principle called Kayama. It has to be permanent. So because the malacha has to be permanent. The Mishnah later on, a different Mishnah later on, says that malachto mis kayemis for Shabbos. It has to be permanent. If I write with invisible ink, you know, it lasts for 2 hours, that's not going to be a malacha, right? That's what we mentioned. We always use in Shari Tzedek, they use this ink that disappears in 24 hours, so it's only this is Rabbanan. Any malacha that's not permanent, excuse me, is not going to be a Nisa Daraisa. So the question is, asks the Yerushalmi, what about Bona? In the Mishkan, was Bona permanent? Sometimes they built something and they maybe Hashem told them to leave in 10 hours. They never knew. They set it up, they left, they set it up, they left. So the question is, what exactly is, where do you learn Bona from in the Mishkan that it has to be Mekuyim, has to be Miskayim? By all the other malachas, they were permanent. You plow, you cut. But Bona, it could be, if you assume, let's say, which is an issue, if you assume that Davar HaMiskayim requires at least 24 hours, which is important for, let's say, tying shoes. That's why we're allowed to tie our shoes on Shabbos, because they're probably going to come out within 24 hours. So if I hold that's the halacha, so maybe in the Mishkan they will leave in 10 hours. Maybe Hashem will tell them to leave. So how, what's the mucker for Bona being Davar HaMiskayim in the Mishkan? So one approach in the Yerushalmi is that you're right, Bona doesn't have to be Miskayim. It's an exception malacha. But listen to the second Yerushalmi. The second part of the Yerushalmi says, no, Kivan dechsiv api Hashem yachanu havi lekikavua. Since Hashem decides, when I put it up, I can last here for 6 months. I don't know how long Hashem's going to make me leave, right? Rashi says at the beginning of Maaseh that, right, there was 8 masos, right, the first year, 8 masos, the second year, there was only 20 masos for 39 years. That's not so much. Less than once a year they used to move in the Midbar. But because it says, Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu, it's not their decision, so it's called Kavua. It's called permanent. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So the Chasam Sofer says, maybe here too, to answer the Rashba's question. The Rashba asks on Tosfos, how could this whole discussion be Mechubar? The Mishkan wasn't Mechubar, it was Davar HaMitaltel. Says the Chasam Sofer, maybe it's like that Yerushalmi. Just like Yerushalmi says for halachas of Boneh, Kuol Get Miskayim, because Hashem told us what to do. We didn't decide, so that's called Kayama. And we followed Dvar Hashem, that's called Kayama. So too, here to answer the Rashba's question. That is one possibility of a Chasam Sofer. Then I just saw quoted one other Hosafa, and then we'll continue. And we've never mentioned him, so I wanted to mention him. In the Tur al HaTorah, everybody knows the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim are the little nuggets that that the Gematrias and it only says this twice in all of Tanakh. So that's the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim wrote that as Parparaos. The Tur, Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the Rush, he wrote that as like extras to his commentary al HaTorah. But nobody ever really learns that Tur al HaTorah is a larger commentary. It's not just the Baal HaTurim. It's basically the Ramban plus. He quotes a lot of the Ramban, plus he adds on here and there a few Hosachos. So in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, the Tur asks, according to the Machlokas, whether Nadav and Avihu died inside the Mishkan or outside the Mishkan. So according to the one who says he died inside the Mishkan, he says, why did the Mishkan become Tamei Meis? And with nowhere in the Torah does it say they had to sprinkle the paraduma on the Mishkan. Just that they died and they took out the bodies and then they continued. That was it. So why did the Mishkan become Tamei Meis? There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether they died inside or outside. So he says, maybe it's based on Yerushalmi. Al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yiso chashuv kavua v'lo makabel tuma. Maybe it's based on that same Yerushalmi that Chasam Sofer quotes. Because it was Kavua, it was made there. So maybe that's why it wasn't Mekabel Tumas Meis. Because the same reason, the way the Chasam Sofer answers the Rashba in our Gemara, that's what the Torah says in Parsha Shri. Well, the Mishnayos, the Mishnayos of Chagiga talk about they had to dunk the Paroches. Took like 400 maidens to dunk the paroches, whether it's like guzma or not. But somewhere, the Mishnah Chagiga says that there were shniim and shlishiim for certain kalim. There were seconds and thirds. A certain kalim doesn't mean that the whole Mishkan, right? Maybe the kior, maybe other kalim. Okay. So continues the Gemara. So the Gemara says that the makor for this halacha, that only Pishtun itself, when it acts as an ohel, becomes Tameh. But other materials, when it itself is a roof, things under it become Tameh, but the roof itself does not become Tameh. You know that from the Mishkan. So says, asks the Gemara, hey, if you're comparing it to Mishkan, so imala halon shezurin v'chutin kafel vav, afkan shezurin v'chutin kafel vav. So why don't you go all the way? Why don't you say that the only type of roof that's going to become tamei are roofs that have very fancy woven threads, six threads in each thread. You know, Rashi quotes in Parshas Truma. Excuse me, that the way, or I think it's Truma, the way that the curtains were made, where they had these all these different types of threads, and Rashi, I think here, quotes the different types of threads, Sheish Bazar, and Butz, Vargama, and all these other types of threads, and they used to weave six threads with a golden thread, and that's how they made each thread. So if you want to compare it to Mishkan, that Mishkan is the model, is the paradigm to teach me what roof becomes Tameh when it acts as a roof, so go all the way with the Limud. Not just Pishtun, but how this Pishtun was made. So Gemara says, no. Don't limit it so much. Tamad Lomar, Ohel Reba. Says the word Ohel an extra times, therefore it must be including even non-Shazur and Vechut and Kafel Vav. So Gemara says, Eol Ohel Reba, Fil Komilinami. So you're saying there's a pas, there's an extra word, so why do you include everything, not just Pishtun? So go to the other extreme, not just a specific kind of pishtum, and include all types of materials. So M. Kane says the Gemara, no, that can't be. Because Xer Shava Mayahanile. So if it's true that you include everything, then what's the point of the Xer Shava of Ohel Ohel? Right? The assumption of this line of the Gemara, it's an important assumption just in terms of Kolatar Kula principle, and that is they knew this Xer Shava. The rabbis involved in this conversation, the Gemara knew there was a Xer Shava of these two words, Ohel here, Ohel there. And they knew it had to be used for something. But what it was supposed to be used for is open. And that is how many Mefarshim, many Rishonim hold the concept of Gzeir Shava. The words in Gzeir Shava, which means a word is written here, a word is written there, that was given for Rebbe to Talmud for Moshe Rabbeinu. These two words, these two parshas are going to be connected. What halacha do you learn from that connection? That's open to the Rebbe. That wasn't specifically given into a Mesorah. That's how, why you find sometimes there's a machlokas about Gzeir Shava. Why? How can there be a machlokas? Right, so the Gemara says, "Ain adam dam gzeir shava me'atzmo." Gemara in Sukkah says, "You're not allowed to judge gzeir shava yourself." So obviously, you got it from your Rebbe. No, so they say that the gzeir shava comes from a Rebbe. The concept of which words you get a darshan, which halachas you learn, so that's open. So that's what the Gemara says here. What do you mean? If you're going to include all begadim, so what are you going to do with the gzeir shava? Gzeir shava is not like a kal v'chomer. If a kal v'chomer is rejected, okay, I'm wrong. Kal v'chomer is logic. I can come up with the kal v'chomer, right? So if a kal v'chomer is wrong, okay, no kal v'chomer. I can't do that with the gzeir shava. A Gzeir Shava is a Mesorah. There has to be something learned from a Gzeir Shava. Those are the two extremes, the Gzeir Shava and the Kal V'chomer. What about everything in the middle? What about Klal, Prado Klal, and Kosova Shlishi? So that's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and Sukkah, Daflam and Aleph. Rashi said, I forgot who says what, but one of them says, you could Kal V'chomer you do yourself and everything else you have to get from a Rebbe. And then the other Shita says, no, you get everything from a Rebbe. No, you can do everything yourself except for a Gzeir Shava. So I forgot, what's the rule, what's the exception? Gzeir Shava or Kal V'chomer? But those two are clear. Kal V'chomer you can do yourself, Gzeir Shava you have from a Rebbe. So anyways, he asks the Gemara, in case, if it's true that you learn, include everything, so what's the Gzeir Shava telling me? So Ve'ema, so that's why you have to limit it to Pishtun. That's what you have to say, the Gzeir Shava is telling you, limiting it to Pishtun, but don't go overboard, don't limit it to the specific type of Pishtun, how it's woven.
Why is that called overboard?
Sorry?
Why is that called
Right, but the Gemara is assuming that it can't be so specific. It must be telling me a type of material. Not, it's so unusual to weave cloth, weave threads in that way, six times per thread. The Gemara is assuming that that can't be, that's not really teaching me a halacha. Nobody ever does that. So it's got to be something that's more lamaisa. Continues the Gemara. V'yema malahalan krushim, afkan krushim. What exactly does this line mean? It's a difficult line to understand. Malahalan crush off. So why don't you say, once you're connecting it to Mishkan, just like there's boards, so to here there are boards. What does that mean? So Rashi seems to say that this means crushim, the boards were made out of wood, made out of eights. So the crushim are kind of, sometimes you see that the crushim are referred to as the ohel also. Not just the roofs, but the walls themselves are referred to part of the ohel. So according to Rashi, why don't you include wood in what can become Tameh? That's how Rashi seems to understand the question of the Gemara. Malahalan crush it, afkan crush it. Just like wood is part of Ohel by the Mishkan, so too, you should say wood also is included in not just Pishtun. Tosfos doesn't like that, because he says walls are walls and roofs are roofs. Ohel is the Ohel. Technically, we're just talking about the boards. So Tosfos says, he has an amazing Havamina. He says, maybe the Havamina is that the only time Pishtun is going to become Tameh is when it's supported by walls of boards. Because that's what it was in the Mishkan. right? If you have walls of wood of Krushim and a roof of Pishtun, that's what happened in the Mishkan. So that's a little more than, let's say, the threads that are woven six times. But Tosfos says maybe it's a little more expanded. But again, that's how Rashi and Tosfos have that disagreement. But says the Gemara, no, there's a pasuk that tells me that you can't include the Krushim. V'yasisa Krushim la Mishkan. It says, you shall make boards, Krushim, for the Mishkan. Mishkan kari Mishkan, in Krushim kari Mishkan. Meaning, the boards, the walls, are not the Mishkan itself. They are for the Mishkan. They support the Mishkan. The Mishkan, though, is what the roof is called. So that's how you know from that pasuk that the Krushim are a different entity than the Mishkan. And therefore, we can't learn that the Krushim themselves are called the roof, and then we will learn the halacha that the wood can become tamei. Elamayata asks the Gemara, if you're telling me that when you have a pasuk that says, Krushim la Mishkan, that means the Krushim are different than the Mishkan, what about the following pasuk? Elamayata, V'yasisa michzela ohel, hakanami michzelo ikri ohel, you shall make a cover for the roof. The cover is the roof. So this pasuk obviously michza is ohel, even though it says michza la ohel. So in the previous pasuk, when it says krushim la mishkan, maybe the krushim are the mishkan. Maybe the krushim is the ohel, and therefore again we will learn the halacha that not only pishton becomes tamei when it acts as a roof over tuma, but so too wood can become tamei when it acts as a roof over tuma. That's according to Rashi's pshat. Says the Gemara, no, that can't be. Elahadaboy Rabbi Elazar or Behema Tameya Maushi Tami Ba'ol Ames. No, it can't be because Rabbi Elazar had a question, which the Gemara is going to talk about a little bit more in a few minutes. But Rabbi Elazar's question was, if somebody uses skin of a non-kosher animal or Behema Tameya as a roof. Remember in the olden days they used to use hides for roofs. So Maushi Tami Ba'ol Ames. Rabbi Elazar had a question about what about the skin of a non-kosher animal? Does that become tamei when it's used as an ohel hames? Rabbi Elazar had that question, so asks the Gemara now. Hashta or behema tahora lo mitamei or behema tamei mibai or behema tahora. According to this limud, this suggestion of hakanami mixing lo ikri ohel. According to that, or skin of a kosher animal is not going to become tamei. So skin of a kosher animal is not going to become tummy. Skin of a non-kosher animal surely is not going to become tummy. So what was Rabbi Elazar's question? Rabbi Elazar had a suffix. He didn't know about skin of a non-kosher animal. Is it going to become tummy or not? So he wouldn't have had a question if the Gemara's suggestion was correct. I don't exactly know. I looked around a little bit. Maybe I don't know if the art school says anything. What's the logic that just because if skin of a kosher animal won't become tummy, then surely skin of a non-kosher animal is not going to become tummy? What's the logic in that? I thought you might say the opposite. Just like... Right, I'm saying something that's skin of a non-kosher animal, so that's less reason to become tummy than a kosher. Again, we'll have to keep looking. I didn't find yet. I didn't look enough, but that's just a question. But says the Gemara, no shiny hasam, the hadar ahadre krup. Now really, there's a rejection. Really, the pasuk has a specific limud to include the skin, the mikseh, to be an ohel. So, as the pasuk says, the pasuk refers to all the different coverings. There were like three levels of skins on top of the Mishkan. You ever see those beautiful picture books of the Mishkan? There were like three levels of skins, one on top of another. And the Gemara here, the pasuk here, puts it all in one pasuk to compare them. Makish elyon latachton, matachton kari ohel, af elyon kari ohel. Period. In other words, you see from this pasuk that all the covers are called Mishkan, are called ohel, called the roof. So therefore, there's no havamina. The Gemara wanted to say that just like it says michzeh la ohel, so don't say that michzeh doesn't mean michzeh is ohel. So even though it says michzeh la ohel, so too when it says krushim la mishkan, krushim might refer to the roof also. Just like michzeh la ohel, michzeh also is the ohel. So Gemara says no. In the second pasuk, there's another pasuk that's megala that reveals to me that the michzeh, all the covers are called the roof, but the krushim are the walls. The krushim aren't the roof. The krushim support the roof, but the krushim aren't the roof. If the krushim aren't the roof, so that's the halacha that we wanted to know. What are we trying to figure out here? If you have a roof that's made out of a certain material, does it become tamei or not? The Mishnah said that only the only product of a tree that can become tameh when it functions as a roof is pishtan. The Gemara just had a discussion, maybe wood also, because in the Mishkan they used wood. The Gemara answers the maskana, no. The wood was only used for the walls, not for the roof. And therefore you can't learn that just if you have a wooden roof, that it's going to become tameh. Okay, that's the discussion of the Gemara. Okay, two dots. Let's continue. Gufa, boy Reb Elazar. Just like Amud Beis yesterday was about tzitzis, Amud Beis today is going to be about tefillin. So the Amud Aleph both days is about tum and tara. Boy Reb Elazar, or behema tameha maushi yitame tumas ohalim. So this is the suffix, the question that he had before. The skin of a non-kosher animal, does it mahu? Does it, can it become tame tumas ohel? Again, it itself, what's under it, obviously, it doesn't matter what kind of roof is on top, what's under it becomes tumas ohel. But what about it itself? He had that suffix. So, Mike Baile, what exactly was his suffix? What was behind Reb Elazar's suffix? So, Omar Rav Adabar Ava, Tachash Shahaybi Moshe Kamibaile. He had a question about the Tachash. Tachash, we're going to see on Amud Beis, those of you might remember it from being Maver Sedra, in Parshas Truma. It was this type of creature that produced many different colors, and they used it. It was Dafka Nivra for that time period, in the time of the Mishkan. Tamei Haya Otar Haya. His real suffix, he knows that they use Tachash in the Mishkan, and he doesn't know that if Tachash is a kosher or non-kosher animal. So that was his suffix. He didn't know if the Tachash was kosher or non-kosher, so therefore he doesn't know whether the Or Behemoth Tameya is Metamei Betumas Oel. He knows the Mishkan is the source of it. He just doesn't know whether Tachash is a kosher or non-kosher animal. So Amar Rav Yosef, Maitzi Baylecha. So Rav Yosef, what was his suffix? Tanina, we learned. Lo Hochshiru L'Meleches Shemayim Ela Or Behemoth Tar Bovad. We have a principle that when you come to Meleches Shemayim, which at least means Mishkan, but we'll see what else it means, but when it comes to Melecha Shemayim, you can only use products of kosher animals, or Beimat or Bovad. Right? We had this all the way back on Daf Chof Aleph. We spoke about Shemen Kik. We spoke about Shemen Kik coming from a non-kosher animal, yet you can use it in Eres Chanukah. So we saw the Maritz Chayis there, quotes in Odom Yehuda. That's Machalik between Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah. Right? Something that has inherent kedusha or not, but here Melecha Shemayim is something even more expanded, right? Using it for Mishkan, so Mishkan is—I don't know if all of the Mishkan would be called Tashmishi kedusha, even though you have the Aron inside, but it might be somewhat extended. But either way, it says any Melecha Shemayim would be—you have to use Arbeim Taharas. So what was his suffix? Of course, the Tachash must have been kosher. Right, they must have only used kosher animal products for that case. Right, Yoni had asked me after the shiur that a week ago about that case. What about honey? Doesn't honey come from bees? Bees aren't kosher. The Mishnayos talk about that in Chulin and some other place. Oh, in Bechoros, because the Bechoros it says kolay yotzi min atame tame kolay yotzi min atartar. The end of the first parak, I think, in Bechoros. That's where it talks about that. But I think the Mishnayos and the Rishonim already talk about that. That I think honey doesn't really come from bees. This comes from like the pollen and the stuff inside, and they process it. Like they go into the blossoms. Anybody else? Any horticultural experts here? Anyway, but they go into the pollen and the plants, and they like help process it. But I don't know if the bees, it comes from the bees' bodies. So therefore, that's one of the approaches that they say. It's not really yotzei min hatameh. Okay, so says the Gemara, Rav Yosef says, I don't know what his suffix was. Of course the tachash was kosher. So Rav Abba says, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Mechzos, Hayu Echad Shel Oros Eilim Adamim, Ve'Echad Shel Oros Tchashim. Right, there were two covers in the Mishkan. One was made of skin of red rams, Eilim Adamim, Ve'Echad Shel Oros Tchashim. One was made of Oros of the Tachash, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Michse Echad Haya. Really, it was one cover, V'Domek Kemin Tle Ilon. And it was like a Tle Ilon. Tle Ilon is a kind of animal. Kind of a colored, Rashi says, minumeris, maybe like a leopard, minumeris, mgevanim, but it was like a leopard with colored spots. It was like Tle Ilon. V'ha Tle Ilon Tamehu. So Rabbi Yehuda, right, this opinion, sorry, Rabbi Nechemia says, the cover in the Mishkan was like Tle Ilon, which is a non-kosher animal. So what do you mean only kosher animals used in the Mishkan? It says it was like a non-kosher animal. So Gemara gives the obvious answer. No, Hachikamer, he didn't say it was the non-kosher animal. He says they put different hides together, and then when they put it together, it looked like a Tle Ilon skin, but it didn't actually use a Tle Ilon skin. Right, because that's the Tle Ilon is Tame, you're right, but they didn't use that. They're just, when they put the hides together, the various kosher animals, it looked like the Tle Ilon. Amar of Yosef, Ihachi, if this is true, this is not a question, Rashi explains, this is just like a nice Ihachi, not a question. Ihachi, ihachi, hayna de mitargaminon saskona. That's what the, if you look in the Torah, tachash is translated in the Unkelis as saskona, shesas begavanim harbe, that it's happy with all of its colors. Right, so tachash is an animal that produces, that the skin of it is very multicolored, and they used to use that in the Mishkan, but it was, according to the Gemara so far, a kosher animal, and therefore, again, we don't know exactly what the suffix was of Rabbi Elazar at the beginning.
How does Unkelis support that it was a kosher animal?
Unkelis did not support that it was a kosher animal. He's just, the Ihachi is just relating to the fact that it had a lot of colors. Just like it was compared to a Tzle'ilon, which is a very colorful animal. So to Ihachi, that's what it means, Shesas Begvanim Harbi. But he does not relate to the issue of kosher or not kosher. Okay, last skinny line. Rava Amar... Or behemoth tamei demetami ba'ol hameis mehacha. Maybe there's another source. Okay, the source from the Mishkan didn't work. Maybe there's another source that the hide of a behemoth tamei, when it's used as a roof over toma, it itself becomes tamei. Maybe there's another source for it. Zetanya, the following. Or oba ariba, it says by saras, by tumas negam, as we discussed a couple of times in the past couple of days. So it said there's a special pasuk oba ar. There's a separate extra letter in the Torah. We say riba ar behema tameya, the skin, the hides of a non kosher animal. Again, in those days they used to wear hides as clothing. The hides are clothes. Let's say they processed it, they wore it as hides. So that was a begadim in those days. So it wasn't the flax, it wasn't wool, but it was Ar Behemah Tameya. There's a separate limud in the Torah to tell me that saras can be had on those types of begadim made out of the skin of non-kosher animals. We said there were three types of saras, on a body, on clothing, and on a house. So the middle part, on middle type, on clothing, the Gemara, there's a special limud in the Torah that even the hides of non-kosher animal can get saras. Vishalaka miyat kohen, and it includes even, it could get saras even after you show the beged to the kohen. We showed him, say, what that is adding, not for us now. Katzatz mikulan v'asa achas mehen minayin. How do you know that if you cut up a bunch of different materials and you made one beged out of them, some from kosher animals, some from non-kosher animals, how do you know that cloth also could be b'kabal tumah? Tamalomar obachom alechas are fine. But what do you see from here? That a cloth, a hide of a non-kosher animal can become tamei tumas nugayim. So Gemara says, maybe hu adin, maybe so too, if the Ar Behemah Tameya is a roof over tumma, it itself can become tamei as well. That's the suggestion of the Gemara here. Just like it's mitamei tumas nugayim, so too it's mitamei tumas meis. So yes, the Gemara, no, igal mifrach. No, you can't compare the two cases. Ma'ala nugayim shekein shesi va'ariv tamei behem. As we said yesterday, you can't, tumas nugayim as a chumra. That tumas nugayim, even if you have one thread going horizontal, one thread going vertical, one chassis and arev, one warp and woof, so that itself is tamei already. It's not even a baguette, it's such a tiny amount. So you can't compare tumas negam to tumas meis. Tumas negam is much more chamur. So Gemara says, El gamar mishratzim. Fine, you're right. So forget that saras makar. We have another pasuk that says that the hide of a non-kosher animal can be mitamei from a sheretz. Titanya, as it says in a braisa, or. It says the pasuk or, hide, ainli el arbeim tahora, arbeim tamei minayin, tamalomar o or. So again, the suggestion is that just like a hide of a non-kosher animal can become tummy from a sheretz, so too can become tummy from tumas ohel. Asks the Gemara, Vikol Amifrach, Malas Shratzim, Shkem Tamei Baka Adasha. Know what I mean? Shratzim also has a chubra that tumay mace doesn't have. That even a tiny sheretz that's a lentil size, that's going to make this bag a tummy. So again, why can't you compare that to tummy mace? A mace, you need a much bigger piece of a mace, not just a lentil size. So again, we're stuck. Don't accept that that suggested makar. So again, we tried from saras, it didn't work because saras has a chumrah. We tried from sheretz, doesn't work because sheretz has a chumrah. So Gemara says maybe they could team up because each of them don't have each other's chumrah. So if they could team up, so you can't say because of this chumrah because the other one doesn't have the chumrah. Gemara says negoim yochichu. Maybe if you put team up Negoim with Shrasim, it works, because Negoim doesn't have the Chumrah of Adasha. The Chazar Hadin, and we go back and forth, Lo-Roi Zeh, Ke-Roi Zeh, Lo-Roi Zeh, Ke-Roi Zeh, each one of the Milamdim, each one of the potential sources sheretz and mace aren't exactly the same. But by both of them, we say the hide of a kosher and non-kosher animal are similar. So I'm going to include kosher, I'm going to compare. Just like the two sources aren't exactly alike, they each have a chumrah, but they're not the exact same chumrah. So maybe I'll say just like they are tamei, so too by tamei mace, you know, even non-kosher animal hides would be tamei. No, we're not saying the tumas sheretz, meaning, but the Torah says that the hide of a non-kosher animal that is touched by a sheretz can become tamei. That's by tumas sheretz. So Gemara says, Amar le'Ravah mi barnish l'Rav Ashi, no, igal mifrach, but there's still a problem with the limud. Again, what is this gesture limud at this point? We have a team. We have a team of tumas sheretz and tumas tzaraas. Both of those together can teach us, like by those types of tumah, the hide of a non-kosher animal can become tameh if touched by a sheretz or if it gets saras on it. So too, we want to learn that too, if a non-kosher hide functions as an ohel over a mace, it itself can become tameh. So the Gemara says again, no good. Igal amifrach, we still have a kasha. Mala hatzara shava shabahen shekein tzvein bepachas bikazayis tumar bemeis she'inu matami ela bikazayis. There's still a chumrah because by the two sources, it's still that even though they're not exactly the same, both of their shiurim for tuma is smaller than where we're trying to learn it from. Two, when it comes to a sheretz, even an adasha, even a tiny lentil size, and when it comes to tsaras, it's a gris. I think, right? We say we had it yesterday, which are both smaller than kezias. Kezias, an olive. Oh, it's huge, right? So it's bigger than the other two. So again, we reject that these two can't be the sources for the fact that if the orbe hematimea can become mitame tumas mace. So we reject that. So we say, okay, maybe there's another possibility. Ela amaravami barnish, asya, turning over, asya, bakal vachomer. Again, a couple more lines, then we get to tefillin. Hang in there. Ela asya, bakal vachomer, minotza shal izim. Maybe it's not based on a drasha, it's based on a kal vachomer from, literally, notes or feathers of izim. It means just the hair of a goat. Why? How can we learn from the hair of a goat? Because from that material, she'eno matami ben goyim matami ba'ol ameis, we know that material cannot become tami through tsaras, but it can become tami through ol ameis. So or behemet tameya she'matami ben goyim, so or behemet tameya, the hide of a non-kosher animal, which we know can be matami through negoyim, eno disha matami ba'ol ameis. And that is the drasha that seems to be accepted in the Gemara, that we learn it out from a kal vachomer from notza shel izim. If notza shel izim, notz saras, yes tumas meis, so orbe mitmeya, which yes saras, so then yes tumas meis as well, period. But now the Gemara asks on the fourth line, Ve'ela, one second, but didn't we had a statement before? Ve'ela hadatani Rav Yosef lo hochshrom lecha shemayim or behemet Torah bilvad lo mai hilchasa. Rav Yosef said earlier that by any melecha shemayim you need products of a kosher animal. So if now we're saying that even non-kosher skin, you know, maybe it was used in the Mishkan or maybe is tamei also, can become tamei also, so then what's the point that, what halacha do we learn out from that line of Rav Yosef? That you can only use products of a non-kosher, of a kosher animal. In other words, we thought originally that that line of Rav Yosef is teaching me that only the hides of a kosher animal are mitami tumas meis. But now we're saying that's not true. Now we're saying even hides of a non-kosher animal can become tami tumas meis. So regarding what halacha did he say that? So maybe, the Rishonim say, maybe he just said that because he was teaching us what they did in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they only use products of a non-kosher of kosher animals. So Rashi says that can't be because the principle of mai dahave hava. Rashi says in the first skinny lines of Rashi that Rashi explains that sometimes the Gemara will ask the Gemara in Sanhedrin I think asks or Baba Kama. Baba Kama Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin I think the Gemara says Shor Shel Sinai, right? Shor Shel Sinai Bakama. The Gemara says a shor that went up on Har Sinai. How many judges? And it's a shor niskal, and it's chayiv misa, the shor. So how many judges do you need to judge it? The Gemara says Ma'ida Hava Hava. Who cares? You know, what halacha do you learn from that? It's a historical fact. You know, so again, hilchas tumah v'tahara, hilchas karbanos, that obviously, that's halacha l'maisa. So not halacha l'maisa now, but b'ezras Hashem, Mashiach is going to be halacha l'maisa. But a shor shel Sinai? Right, so what is the, how many judges do you need to judge that? So Rashi says, that's really behind the Gemara's question. L'mai hilchasa. The interesting Tosas also says Lamai Hilchasa is mashma. The Gemara is saying there has to be a nafka mina la halacha that he's teaching me. So in the back, the Mitzvah Esan says maybe there's a nafka mina. What if somebody makes a neder? Nedarim is always a nafka mina. Somebody makes a neder that it's whatever I do should have the halachic status of, you know, of a tachash or something. So then maybe it's important to know what was in the olden days. Okay, so he said the Gemara could have said that nafka mina also. Gemara picks other nafka minas. So what nafka mina? What's the halacha that you learn out from? You need products only from kosher animals. So where it says lit tefillin. What does tefillin mean? It means that the cloth that's used to make tefillin has to come from a kosher animal. Right, the cloth that we have in our tefillin. What do you mean? Does it need shchita? I mean, could it be a nevela of a kosher animal? Green nevela of a kosher animal? I'm not sure. I'm sure it's a mefurish halacha. I just don't know it. That the lamai hilchasa l'tefillin. So the Gemara says tefillin is what Rav Yosef is teaching me. You don't need Rav Yosef for that. It's a pasuk. Behed yiksiv bahu. It says in the Torah, Laman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. You wear tefillin so that the Torah Hashem is in your mouth. Call a mutter b'ficha. So you learn out from Torah Hashem b'ficha. You have a drasha. Everything that's mutter to go into your mouth. That's what you use to write tefillin on. Right? The four. Remember, there are four klafim in the shel rosh. There's one klaf in the shel yad. Right? Four boxes in the shel rosh. One in the shel yad. So those klafim, those five klafim, have to be written from on klaf that's from a kosher animal. So Rav Yosef can't be teaching me that because that's a pasuk. So what else is there? So Gemara says maybe ella la oran. So maybe he's referring to the boxes. The boxes of the tefillin, even though when we take out our boxes, it doesn't look like animal hides. But really, those boxes, they're made out of animal hides, hardened animal hides. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what Rav Yosef is teaching me, that the tefillin boxes have to be made out of skin of a kosher animal. So the Gemara says again, no, that can't be, because we already know that too. V'ha'amar Abaya. Abaya says, shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. The shin of the tefillin on the tefillin box, right? We all have shins on our tefillin shel rosh. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. In other words, explains Rashi in the Gemara that the tefillin box is also called Torah Hashem because you have letters of the Torah on it. So that's also included in the pasuk. It says the matiyah Torah Hashem aficha. So we say it's a pasuk. Rav Yosef can't be teaching me that. So it has to be. So that's what it says here. If you have a letter on your tefillin shel rosh, so then it must be that that's included in the Torah Hashem. So again, you have to have a dip. What's Rabbi Yosef teaching me? What if the tefillin has to be made from a kosher animal? Look at the Rashi for a minute. Shin shel tefillin, right across from where we are. Sheyehei, what's the shin shel tefillin? Sheyehei ha'or nikmat mi bachutz gimel kmatim v'dome l'shin. Right, how is the shin made? It's not, and the post can point this out, that when we have the shin in our tefillin, the sofer doesn't make a box and then take a shin from somewhere else and glue it on. That's puzzle. Right, what he has to do is either, I forgot, there's a discussion in the post, whether it has to be pulled out or pushed out. Right, but it's all from one material. That's what Rashi says. Sheha'or, the skin, obviously you do this before it all hardens, or else it's going to crack. So you are nikmat mi bachutz, it's folded out, gimel kmatim, and that's what looks like a shin. And Rashi even continues that it's not just the shin. V'haritzua niksheres kemindalis. The ritzua is formed like a dalid. It's unclear exactly what Rashi means. Does it mean the ritzua in the knot in the back of your head? Is that the dalid is referring to? Some people have a dalid, some people have a square. Different minhagim. Is that the dalid or is it some other dalid he's referring to? What? So we're going to see he's probably not referring to the hand, but that was a good suggestion. We'll see from later on not. V'yesh ritzua kefufa keminyud. Dahainu shakai. And then there's the ritsua that is, some say it means the yud on the shel yah that's next to the box. Either way, you have a shin, you have a dalad, you have a yud, and that spells shakai. And therefore, Rashi says that explain the Gemara, because these letters are on the box, that's why they say, we're talking about the box here, Yoni, the ritsuos are going to be at a later stage of the Gemara, so we don't want to get into the ritsuos now. So at least all of these letters are on the box, so therefore you see, the box is already included in Torah Hashem B'Ficha. So therefore Rav Yosef can't be teaching me that the boxes have to be made out of a skin of a kosher animal, because that's all included in the pasuk. So again, you have to have something else to learn it to. So Ella, maybe it's the following. Ella karchan b'sairon ulatofren begidin. Maybe it means that when you tie it up, those aren't like strings in the box. Those are gidin, those are sinews and parts of the animal also. Those aren't just regular strings that they use to tie up the cloth inside and to tie up the tefillin boxes. So maybe that's what Rav Yosef is teaching me, that those things have to come from a kosher animal. So where I said, no, hanami halacha moshe misinai hu, that also is a halacha moshe misinai, and therefore you don't need Rav Yosef to teach me that that's true. The Tanya, as it says in a brisa, tefillin merubaos, halacha moshe misinai, tefillin have to be square. That, right, you can't have triangular tefillin, you can't have round tefillin, even though if you think it looks nicer, halacha moshe misinai, it has to be square. Nichrachu b'sayram b'detvaros begidin, and that's also included in halacha moshe misinai, that has to be tied up with the hair of the animal, and detvaros, and sewn up begidin, with the sinews of the animal. So again, we're still stuck. What is Rav Yosef teaching me? Well, we know all this from the pasuk from halacha moshe misinai. Rav Yosef is telling me something has to be made from a kosher animal product. So what is he teaching me? So finally we say, Ela liritsuos. Maybe he's telling me the straps. That the straps have to be made from a kosher animal. The straps themselves are also cloth. So Gemara says again, Vahamar Rabbi Yitzchak, what do you mean? Ritsuos shechoros halach moshe misinai. We know that the straps have to be black from halach moshe misinai. So Gemara says, fine. Nehi, the gemiri shechoros, taras be gemiri. So the halach moshe misinai there only said they have to be black. But not that they have to be tahoros, not that they have to be tahor. So that's the maskana. The maskana is that what does Rav Yosef teach me? That the tefillin straps have to also be made from a kosher animal. There was a major discussion in the poskim, about the straps. What halacha do the straps of the tefillin have? Are they tashmishe kedusha or tashmishe mitzvah? We've been mechalik in the past between these two concepts. Tashmishe kedusha is anything that's used directly to service the klaf shel Torah. Anything so like the cover of the Torah, the tefillin box, the tefillin bag. All of these are tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe kedusha have to be put in shemis, right? That's the halakha maisa for us. Tashmishe mitzvah is Chanukah oil, menorah oil, lulav, all shofar. All of those are kadosh when they are being used for a mitzvah. When they're not connected directly to a klaf shel Torah, and therefore when they're finished being used, you put them in a plastic bag, make radin, you can throw them out. That's the so we burn them. We try to burn them in the chametz, but make radin, they don't have inherent kedusha. What about the straps of the tefillin? So the tefillin box covers the actual tefillin, the ksav of Torah. The ritsua allows the box to stay on your arm. That's true. So it's serving it for you, but it's not really protecting it itself. It's a way that you're using it, but it's not that it actually protects you. It protects inherently part of the. It's not a tufel to that. Not a tufel to that. It's a separate entity which binds it to you, but it's not directly tufel to the box. So there's a big discussion about the ritsua. That's why there are some, I think the min of the olam is to be makel on this, to wrap the straps around the tefillin box. You know, the two are on the different sides. But there, according to the poskim that say that the ritsuos are only tashmishe mitzvah, that shouldn't be done. Right? Because the tashmishe mitzvah are less holy than tashmishe kedushas. Therefore, you should have it separately. We discussed a little bit, I think you told me, Stewie, that your father, your grandfather, somebody used to have them out as wings. Right, they used to not put him, based on the Gemara later on in Shabbos, based on Elisha Balkanafayim, that he had the tefillin, he ran away, turned into a bird, which we'll get to Be'ez Hashem in the fourth parak, I think it's Lamed Tess or something, I don't remember, for third parak, but they have it out, so it's not on the straps, but it's based on this issue. What halacha do the straps have? We know the straps from this Gemara have to be made out of kosher, from a kosher animal, but does that mean it has the status like the rest of the tefillin or not? That's such an interesting discussion. In the postkim.
But you can take a talus and wrap it around the sefer Torah, so that's a touch-based
mitzvah. That's true. So maybe you might say that as long as it's being used for the mitzvah, it still has kedusha. The only difference is post usage. That's one. So then you wouldn't. I'd say the minhag olam is to be mekel. Minhag olam is to. I'm not out. I do it too. I'm not out to change anybody's minhag. But I'm saying that according to some, that is an issue. But true, that's for the benefit of the Torah. You might be mechalik because there we're doing it als kavod haTorah. By the straps, we're doing it for convenience. This is how we're putting it back in our bag. Yeah. Oh, so that is, there's a Ramah in Hilchas Shofar. The Ramah in Hilchas Shofar, and there's a Magen Avraham that extends this even more. The Ramah in Hilchas Shofar says that even though this halacha only applies to tefillin objects. The Ramban Hilchas Shofar says, Shofar mi behema tmeya pasul, quoting Aran and Rosh Hashanah. A shofar from a behema tmeya is pasul, and therefore shouldn't be used. The Mishnah Berurah, though, points out that that's not in the Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah says, V'kasavu ha'achronim, she'ein din zeh borur. It is not 100% clear that this principle should be applied to, what about, there's a big discussion in the Achronim, for oil. Let's say you use melted fats of a non-kosher animal to use for oil for the menorah. Is that allowed? The Gemara only talks about tefillin. So what about all these other cases? So the it seems that the Rama says that by shofar, at least l'chadchila, but the Mishnah Berurah says, ein din zeh borur l'hachim, ein lo shofar achar yiskabo. But don't make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says, you know, it's not so clear that this should be applied by other mitzvos. The Magen Avraham, I think, somewhere applies it by other mitzvos. But really, make radin, ein lecha lebal chidusha. Right now, we only know from what the Gemara says. Also interesting, I think a thought I've mentioned in the past, not recently, but a while ago, from Rav Nevenzal. Rav Nevenzal says, you know, that we have all these halacha moshe mi-Sinai. So obviously, we can't give a tam to halacha moshe mi-Sinai. What about the tefillin being black? What's the reason for that? Tefillin being black. If we could find a reason. You know, what about gold? Gold is beautiful. You know, golden tefillin, you know, everybody has different color talisim. So what about tefillin too? You know, why don't we have a different color tefillin? So Rav Nevenzal says, and this relates to a thought we said in the Haggadah from Rav Pinkus. So he says, black is the ultimate mekabel, right? It absorbs all colors. That's what black is. It absorbs everything. All colors go into black and don't come out. So when we put on our tefillin, that's the ultimate in Makabalos Malchus Shemayim. We're being Makabal, the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking the ksav of Torah and wrapping it around our bodies. We're symbolizing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're the ultimate Makablim. That's why the tefillin are black, because that's what black symbolizes. It's a great bar mitzvah Torah. If you ever have to speak at a bar mitzvah, when he's becoming a bar mitzvah boy, now he realizes he has the yoke of heaven and the tefillin are black. And you can tell the story about the grub, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. Remember the beginning of Brachos, it's the tefillin Shebirosh, not Al Harosh. As you put all this together, next time you got to speak at a bar mitzvah, there you have it. Okay. What? Right, in certain... I'm not going to repeat that one on the tape. Okay. My Havi Allah. So says the Gemara. So my Havi Allah, the Tachash Ohayi Bimei Moshe. So what's pshat with this Tachash? What was this Tachash? Right, so ask some of the Achronim. What do you mean, what was this Tachash? Didn't we just say 5 lines ago we were looking for a Nafkamina because we said, who cares what happened in the past? Now the Gemara says, what's with that Tachash? What about my Dehava Hava? Why don't we just say, who cares, what happened? So I saw in the Sharm Sion of Halacha, he quotes one of the Achronim, who says, unbelievable. He says, if you look in Sanhedrin, the Gemara, I wrote that down the daf here, Nun Alpha Mabez, Rav Yosef is the one that said, Hilchas Olam Mashicha? So Rav Yosef was the one that was bothered. So Rav Yosef is the one beforehand that said, Lo Hochshur Melech HaShemayim. So Lishita So, we got to figure out, we can't say my Dehava Hava. But here's the sum of the Gemara. Sometimes we're wondering, historical question. You don't have to have an afkamina. So what's going on with that tachash? So Amar Rabbi Lo Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Omar Haya Rabbi Meir, Tachash Haya Moshe Beri Bifnei Atzma Haya. The tachash was a separate beer. Yavlo Echriya B'chachamim Min Chayahu In Behemahu. And the Chachamim didn't decide whether it's a Chaya or a Behema, which is important, whether it's a Chaya Behema. Kisui Hadam only applies to a Chaya, not a Behema. Right? Sometimes you don't know, you don't know. Chalavim only... Chalavim are only mutter by one and not by another. So is it a chay or behema? Right? The Gemara has this suffix by koi in a couple of places. Koi is one of those great, like, androgynous koi milchas chinuch type of people, of beings. Right? So that's what he says here too. And the tachash, we don't know if it was a chay or a behema. The kerenachas haisal b'mitzchah, when he had one horn on his forehead. Ulufi shon is damilo the Moshe, and it appeared in history just for Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. V'asim en mishkan, and he used it to make the mishkan. V'nignaz, and then it was put away. Says the Gemara, b'tikamar keren achas ha'islam b'mischa, sh'amina tar haya. The fact that it had one horn, doesn't that mean that it was a tahar kosher animal? Why? Rabbi Yehuda says, Shor shehikrav Adam Arishon keren achas ha'islam b'mischa. The ox that Adam Arishon gave as a carbon to Hashem had one horn. Obviously, you can't give a non-kosher animal to Hashem for a carbon, so it must have been a kosher animal. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, v'sita v'Hashem mishar par mikeren makrin mafris. Right? It's better to Hashem more than an ox, makrin mafris, an horns animal. So the Gemara says, Makrin tarti mashma. What do you mean? Makrin is mashma two horns. So Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak, mi keren ksiv. No, it says mi keren, that's the ksiv, not the kri. So that's why you know it was one horn. So the Gemara says, you know, it's one horn, so it must have been a tahar animal, because Adam's horn was tahar. Adam's animal was tahar. So the Gemara's with Daik, the fact that it says mikaren, that it's only one. So Mar says, one second, v'lif shomine demin behemahu. So prove that it's a min behemah, because it only has one horn. Where it says, no, kivan de'ika keresh, since there's a keresh animal, demin chayahu, that's a chayah, v'lesle el achad, a keren, a keresh only has one horn, and it's a chayah, ikla memar min chayahu, so it could be that it is a chayah. So we don't know, the maskana, whether a tachash is a behemah or a chayah, whether it is, even though we know it has one horn, but it was an animal that was nivra for that time period, to teach us that whenever a being is created, it always has a certain tafkid, it always has a certain purpose. In the period that it's in, the tachash had its purpose, we have our tafkid, and B'ez Hashem, we should be zochet to fulfill our tafkid. Okay, I guess, let me just say the Mishnah. Let me just read the Mishnah, then we'll go to the Gemara tomorrow. The Mishnah just has a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Psilas habeket shekipla v'lo hivhava. Back to Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say you have a beged that, let's say you tear a piece of undershirt and you can use it as a wick in your candles. So they didn't have ready-made wicks in those days. So you take a piece of cloth, you roll it up, and you're going to use it as a wick. So when you roll it up, though, it's not really ready to be used. In the old days, they used to singe it to get it like one unit, and once it was singed a little bit, then they could use it as a wick. So, what about on Shabbos, if you rolled up the wick before Shabbos, but you forgot to singe it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tameya hi ve'ein malikin ba. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's still Tamei, because it wasn't singed, it's still called a beged, and you're not allowed to light with it, Halakha's neighbors. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tahora hu malikin ba. Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's Tahora, meaning it's not a beged anymore. Once you rolled it up, it's not called a beged anymore. Therefore, it's Tahar, it's not Makabel Tumah, and you're allowed to use it for Halakha's neighbors. The reasons for this machlokas, B'ez Hashem, we get to tomorrow, back at 6:10. B'ez Hashem, and today's shiur was L'zecha Nishmas, Dov Tzvi ben Dov Mordechai.